Golden Knights blocked it. Forsberg in front, off the chest of Patera. Now the shot to score! Nyquist ties it up! A power play goal! Oh my! It's 4-4. Holding coming out, being watched very closely by Theodore. They give the puck back now to Josi, cutting in. He scores! Roman Josi scores! And the Predators now are 18 games into an unbeaten streak. Oh my! 5-4 the final.
Freaking Predators.
They never lose. They never lose.
They don't lose. They simply do not lose.
Yes.
16-0-2 in their last 18 games. The Predators have not lost in regulation since February 15th. And last night, when it felt like, okay, well, that was fun while it lasted. You're down 4-1 at the end of the second. You know, it's not a killer, but it's a bummer. And man, that was fun while it lasted. Not this team. Not this Predators team. They have zero quit in them. And when it could have been so easy for the Predators down 4-1 with a period remaining to say, look, we're just going to concede this one. You know, this one's a wash. This one's a loss. We still find ourselves in the playoffs, in a good position in the playoffs. They could have just said, look, you know what? We're going to wave the white flag and we're moving on to Arizona on Thursday. Not this freaking team. My goodness, are these Predators relentless. My goodness, these Predators just refuse to quit. Down 4-1, they come back to win it 5-4 in overtime. D-Mace, how about those freaking Predators last night? My goodness, did you see that coming?
No, I didn't. It was 3-1 in the second period, and I'm thinking like, man, whew, this one's tough. Then they end up scoring. I'm like 4-1. Should I continue to watch it? I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe they score another goal. Maybe they score two goals to make it interesting the last 2 minutes of the game. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see, you know, them doing what they were able to do. Obviously, the first period was a wash. I think Vegas just jumped on them so quick.
Vegas just outworked them.
Yeah, they didn't have time. I don't even think they had time to breathe in that first period. They settled down in the second period. They end up scoring a goal, and then Vegas ended up scoring a goal, which you could say, well, you know, it was sort of an even period, even though I believe the Predators had more shots on goal in the second period than the Vegas Knights, if I'm not mistaken. But still, it seemed like, okay, they woke up, and now they're playing more so of their brand of hockey. That was after the Janikowski score. Then obviously you have O'Reilly come back, then Forsberg, then Nyquist hits the what they deem as the game winner. Game tire. But in the game winner, obviously, was Roman Josi
in overtime,
at the end of the game. It's just this team continued to – they didn't panic. I don't know if you would have seen this team – come back from against a very good Vegas team at the beginning of the season. I don't think you would have saw this team come back the way that they did this game. They know who they are, and we talked about this yesterday, Caroline. They know who they are as a team. They don't panic. Everyone knows their role, and they know what brand of hockey they want to play, regardless if the score is 4-1. They're down, or if they're up 4-1, they played the same brand of hockey. Obviously, yes, they did get on them in the first period, but it seemed like everything just settled down, and it just seemed like they started to find a rhythm. They started to be a little bit more chippy, and it started to be a little bit more rough, and things started to move a little bit faster for them. And what you see is them end up winning in overtime. Now, once they got to overtime, I was like, good, at least they get a point. But they weren't just looking for a point. They were looking for 2 points. They were looking for that ultimate comeback, which they did get ultimately. I just think this game, this may be the game. I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but this may be the game that we look back on and say, that's when that's when I think it really clicked. Like, we are a good team. Like, you can be in some situations like that. Like you said, down 4-1, they're probably thinking, oh, let's just get, you know, let's just prepare for the next team. Mm-hmm. This one's gone. You know, it was great while it lasted. It doesn't mean that we're a bad team. We just had an off night. Let's move on, regroup, and get to the next
game. And that's what we would have been
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
They had a bad night. And I said yesterday, look, if you lose this game, it could make things uncomfortable. Uh-huh. Not they wouldn't make the playoffs. Like, they're making the playoffs.
Exactly.
Before last night's game, they had a 99.6% chance of making the playoffs. Like, they're making the playoffs. It just would have made seeding more interesting. And mm-hmm. at this point, for me, it's at least anybody but Colorado.
Yeah.
So we could have said, okay, now the seeding could be interesting. Now you could see the Predators potentially slipping into that second wild card spot. But still, even, let's just say, final score is 4-1 or 4-2. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have been saying, oh gosh, we're worried about this
exactly.
team. We just would have said, great team with an off night against the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, we would have. But they've managed, just think about this, how they've managed to win games. They just won a game 1-0 against the Detroit Red Wings.
A defensive slugfest.
Where it was just
fest.
Back and forth slugfest, but they were able to find a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
Then you come back and you're able to find a way to win, being down 4-1. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, you're looking at it like, damn, you know, are we going to even get this game? But they found something. They dug deep down. They were resilient. And they just chipped away. It wasn't like they were trying to get 4 points, you know, right away. It's just like they chipped away slowly. And you could start to see Vegas start to panic a little bit. But then, you know, they score their fourth one. Even after the first goal, I think there may have been something in Vegas to think, man, that first goal may be a, you know, sort of a prelude of what's coming. Because when you're up 3-1 in the first period, that's like being up 14-0 in the first quarter or after the first 10 minutes of the game or 21-0. You still got three quarters left.
But you feel comfortable
exactly.
enough. But there's a whole lot of hockey
exactly.
left to be played.
Because you know, like the way they jumped on us in the first period, it was like that shock and awe, like, oh my goodness, okay, they're up already 3-0. Oh my goodness. Now we need to regroup. It wasn't that the game was over. It's just we needed to regroup. That's too much time left for a team that's that hot for you to be up 3-0 in the first period. Now, if they're up 3-0, you know, in the third period, then okay, that's a different story. But you're up 3-0 in the first period. We got two more periods left. And it just seems like the Predators were just chipping away. And then when they scored the first one, they didn't, you know, Vegas came back and scored one. They did not panic. They continued to play their brand of hockey. And it just seemed like the floodgates just opened for them. They scored goal after goal, ultimately with Roman Josi scoring a winning goal in overtime.
You mentioned how the Predators just find ways to win. I think that's the ultimate demarcation in any sport. Mm-hmm. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey. Good teams find ways to win. Against good teams, against bad teams, in games that they're not playing their best, in games that they might not be playing their preferred brand of hockey, mm-hmm. good teams just find ways to win. And the Predators have found ways to win in their different ways. Like you brought up, D-Mace, on Saturday against Detroit, a defensive slugfest. It was physical. We saw Philip Forsberg drop the gloves, and then he found the net. You win 1-0. Mm-hmm. Before that, you went into Florida and you worked them, shut out 3-0. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was in an offensive firework parade, 8-2 against San Jose. And I know San Jose is not a very good team,
exactly.
but still, you created offense.
You did what you were supposed to do against them.
You did what you were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, against Vegas, I think that's its own unique brand of finding a way to win. Because this Predators team, throughout this 18-game point streak, they haven't trailed very much.
Mm.
I saw a stat last night, I believe it was Jeremy Gover that put it out there, of the exact number of minutes in which the Predators have trailed in this 18-game streak, and it's not very many, not very many minutes at all. So I thought it was really impressive that a team that really hasn't trailed much was able to muster up whatever they needed to muster up to not just come back down one or down two, but down three goals at the end of the second period. That hasn't really been the moniker of this team of, you know, they're a four down 4-0. You can't count them out, at least in this 18-game streak. The moniker has been never count the Predators out, but they haven't trailed much, and they found a way to come back and win in that game last night. And I think that's really impressive, is it's a new way that they found a way to win, that they just continue to find ways to win. That, I mean, I think that right now you could say, I don't know if there's a team in the NHL that wants to play the Predators in the playoffs. Because the Predators don't seem to be intimidated by anybody. They were down three goals against the reigning Stanley Cup champions and said, all right, now we're going to turn it on. Now we're going to play our brand of hockey.
Yeah, I just think this team, they've figured out ways, different ways to win. You know, your leaders and your marquee players are playing like leaders and playing like marquee players. You're getting secondary scoring. And again, your goalie is playing terrific, you know, in the net. Now, the three goals, giving up four goals last night, I mean, listen, I'm sure some of it wasn't his fault. But, you know, four goals is four goals. But you know what? The team had his back.
Yeah.
The team went out there and they continued to work and press the issue. They didn't sit back and try to play, you know, defense, seeming, man, you know, we're down 4-1. Let's just make sure it doesn't get out of hand. Let's get defensive minded more so than offensive minded. No, this team just stayed game minded. We're going to play offense. We're going to play defense. We're going to play both ends of the ice. And that's exactly what they did. And when they had opportunities to score goals, they made the best of them. And when they had opportunities to stop them, there was one, I think, in the third period, where, I mean, UC made some hell of a saves last night. And I think it was in the third period. But that just shows you, you know, who he is as a goalie and who this team has become. Nobody, I don't think there's a team right now that would want to play the Nashville Predators in a seven-game series. There's not, because this team, again, the grit, the grind, the resilience, and not just that, but they can play, like, they got players. You know, you couple that with guys going out there and, you know, guys going out there and they're not selfish. Guys going out there and doing what's best for the team as opposed to what's best for them. Them working as a unit. Them finding out, this is what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to do it within the framework of what Coach Bruno is teaching us. And it seems like it works for them every time. Mm-hmm. Again, they may lose the next one. I understand that. They may lose two more before the season ends, or three more. But it doesn't change the way that they're playing and who they are as a team. Mm-hmm. To me, and I have not seen all the hockey teams, but based upon what I've seen and the teams that they played, they're the best team in hockey. Right at this present moment. At this present moment, I'm not saying that they are the best, like, collection, like they got the best players. Mm-hmm. Like, because we can point out two or three other teams that have better players than the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I don't want a piece of Nathan MacKinnon in the Colorado Avalanche.
But this, they're playing the best team hockey in the NHL right now.
I think you could say they're the most dangerous team in the NHL.
Exactly.
Right now.
I do believe they're the best team. You know,
yeah.
The record doesn't indicate it, but if you watch them play, you have to say over the last month and a half, two months, they've been the best team in hockey. The record bears it. There's nothing no one can convince me of to tell me otherwise. I've been watching this team for the last 2 months, and they've been better than every team that they played just about one time. Was it once or twice? They lost once. I think they lost once in this span.
Well, the last time that they lost in regulation was that Dallas game.
Time they lost was in overtime, but they still got a point. This team has been the best team in hockey since that loss to Dallas. Mm-hmm. Find me another team that's been better.
I mean, I think that there is every single coach across the National Hockey League that's looking for a concert in the Sphere to book and cancel. Because that's what it's been since they canceled the U2 concert. Yeah. And I know we kind of, I say that tongue in cheek.
Yes.
But it is what it is.
But since
you got embarrassed by
that's
Dallas.
That's like the line. You can point back to something and say, okay, that's when it started.
Yeah.
You point back to the Dallas and then the canceling of the concert. Mm-hmm. We can always, no matter what year it is, we can always point back to that is when the Nashville Predators kicked it into gear.
Because you bring up how that game last night is a game that we're going to be pointing to say that game was different.
Yeah.
I do think when we look back on the season, and 10 games left, the season is, it's unwritten at this point. It's not finished at this point. But at this point in the season, there are two games that you can point to and say, after those games, like these were the pivotal points in the season. Mm-hmm. You have to look at that Dallas game.
Yeah.
That when you got embarrassed, when Dallas just put it on you, that was the lowest point of the season. When Andrew Brunette called out the team saying, oh, some of us are on vacation. I don't take that lightly when a coach says something like that. When it felt like this team was at the lowest of the low, we were talking about selling. We were talking about trading the goalies. We were talking about, let's just move forward to next season.
Mm-hmm.
Different team.
Bring up Askarov. Hurry up. Get rid of Soros.
And then I think we can point to the game last night.
Yeah.
Because we've known that this team, we talked about it yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see the Predators beat the Vegas Golden Knights to say that they're a cup contender. We've seen the Preds beat really good teams. We've seen the Preds beat teams that we deem to be cup contending teams. Mm-hmm. Florida, Colorado, so on and so forth in that 18-game streak. But it was the manner in which they won last night. Mm-hmm. That their backs were against the wall. It could have been easy for them to throw their hands up, but they didn't. That they put it on and they found a way to win. And look, they got a call that went their way. An offsides call. You and I were talking about this before the show. I think if the call on the ice was offsides, it would have been offsides.
Yeah.
But since the call on the ice was not offsides, it was in fact a goal, then the goal stood. It was such a difference of inches. They continued on the broadcast to, frame by frame and then rewind and then go frame by frame and slow it down. And even still when I'm squinting at my TV screen trying to see, okay, is he skate past the blue line or not? It was very close. But it was so close that I don't think that they could have overturned it. So they did have a call that went their way, but there was also a couple calls that didn't go their way.
Exactly.
And Vegas scored to go up 4-1. I mean, Mantha grabbed Jeremy Lowe's on stick, and he's sitting there like, what am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. So, yes, of course, they got the offsides call that went their way, but I can't look at the refs and say, well, that's the reason why the Predators won.
No,
you don't come back 4-1 and win 5-4 in overtime with help from the refs. No, that is just pure grit and belief in what this locker room and what this team can do.
Yeah, it is. That was a close call. And the longer they stayed at the monitor, the better it was for the Nashville Predators, I believe. Because to me, they're trying to, in situations like that, you're trying to find something that that is going to allow you to change the call. You're looking for that one thing that's going to say, okay, now we can change the call. But the longer they were at that monitor, it was so close. Had they caught it offsides, I think it would have stand. It would have stood. Offsides, Nashville Predators, no goal. Mm-hmm. Had they called that on the ice.
Yeah.
But they didn't call it on the ice. They called a goal. It wasn't offsides. Then it went back to the monitor. It took 5 minutes. It seemed like forever. But then they came back, and you had to feel good as a Nashville Predator fan or team. Mm-hmm. Because if they're taking that long, they're trying to find a reason to say it wasn't a goal. And they just couldn't find one. It was bang, bang, basically. Mm-hmm. And the goal went for Nashville Predators. But I don't think that's the reason why, they won the game. I think they won the game because they were the better team in the second and third period, point blank. Vegas jumped out just like a race. When you're running that 400 meters for all y'all whoever ran the 400 meters in high school or in college, let that person get out that first 100 meters or first 150. Go on ahead. I'm just going to trail you, a couple of steps behind. I'm not going to push myself because I know by that 300 mark, that big elephant's going to get on your back. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to continue to just run the way I've been running and pass you up. And that's what the Predators did. It was like, okay, y'all got out on the first period. We get it. But this is three periods. We got two more left. That monkey's going to jump on your back sooner or later, you know. Or either we just going to keep coming at you and at you and at you and at you, and you're going to give up. Well, I think it was both. I think it was, you know, eventually it got to them, the wear and tear, and then the relentlessness of the Predators and what they were able to do just overwhelmed the Vegas Knights. And then once they got into overtime, all bets were, I think once they got into overtime, I think Vegas knew we lost this game. It's over with. Because even in a 3-on-3, their first, when Vegas had a puck first, it seemed like Nashville took the puck away so easy from them. And then they went through their motions, and the first shot is a goal. It's like you couldn't have written a better picture for how the game started and then how the game ended. You couldn't have written a better story.
There's a reason why they say that a 3-goal lead in hockey is the most dangerous lead.
Yeah.
And last night, I think, is the perfect example of that. I think I can say, obviously recency bias, that was the craziest finish of any hockey game that I have ever seen.
I was celebrating like they won a Stanley Cup.
We were texting last night. I said the Predators have literally never lost ever.
Exactly.
In the history of the franchise, they have never lost.
You see that video I sent you? LeVar Ball, never lost.
Never lost.
Never lost.
Never lost a day of their lives. What a freaking win for the Nashville Predators last night. And it's not just about the standings, which of course it's favorable in the standings. You now find yourself 4 points ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights in the first wild card spot. 4 points out of Winnipeg in that third spot in the Central after Winnipeg lost in overtime to Edmonton last night. But it's beyond the standings and beyond the points and beyond the numbers. It was just, damn, how do you watch what that team did last night and not wholeheartedly believe in what they can do and what they can accomplish in the playoffs, in the postseason, against anybody? What a freaking win for the Predators last night. Adam Vingan will join us coming up next. Willie is on the plane to Arizona, so he will join us as soon as he is able. But Adam Vingan will join us coming up next. We'll get his reaction to the game last night. And let's go ahead and look forward. We know the Predators are making the playoffs. Like a 99.9% chance of making the playoffs. Let's talk seeding, and let's talk best matchups for the Predators in the playoffs. And we'll do that with Adam Vingan coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays for broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Those freaking Predators. I cannot get over it. I was jumping up and down watching that game last night, like freaking out. That's one that I would have given anything to be at Bridgestone Arena for. Predators win it 5-4 in overtime against the Vegas Golden Knights after going down 4-1 at the end of the second period. And joining us now to break it all down, talk the game last night, and looking ahead to the playoffs is our friend Adam Vingan. Vingan, it is always a pleasure to have you here on our airwaves, but especially after a game last night. I do want to talk seeding. I want to talk playoff matchups. But before we look ahead, we have to look back at last night. Your takeaways from the game last night, and what do you feel like you learned about the team after that 5-4 comeback in overtime?
Well, as I was telling Nick before, I'll be honest with you. I didn't see the comeback live because it was prime bedtime for my son.
I understand.
So I checked the score as we were starting, and it was either 3-0 or 4-1 at the time. And I said to myself, it was a good run. There are worse things. I mean, excuse me, there's no shame in losing to Vegas to end a point streak that lasted a month and a half. But after I got Arlo down and went back upstairs and I checked the score, I had to do a double take to make sure I wasn't seeing things, you know, when the Predators ultimately won 5-4. And my takeaway from it is, look, the Predators have earned every single point that they have accrued during this 18-game point streak. There is nothing fluky about what they have done since mid-February. But sometimes in situations like this, you have a golden horseshoe rammed up your rear end. And that's what that was last night. You know, Vegas being up 3-0 at the start of the third period, I have to imagine, I think Willie tweeted it out, I don't have the number in front of me, pretty automatic for the Vegas Golden Knights to win when leading after two periods. So the fact that the Predators were able to come back, win that game, and add to their point streak just shows you that something special seems to be happening with this team. And when I look at the numbers that they've put up over this point streak, as I said, there is nothing fluky about this. Mm-hmm. Since that point streak started in February, they are first in the league in goals for per game. They're first in the league in goals against per game. They're fourth in the league in expected goals for per game, which is a way to measure shot quality. And they're second in expected goals against per game, which is a fancy way of saying that they're playing incredibly well offensively in terms of the quality of chances and shots that they're creating. And they're playing incredibly well defensively in terms of the quality that they're not allowing their opponents to have. And on top of that, they're getting great goaltending too. So when I look at this whole point streak in its entirety, I see a team that's playing like the best team in the NHL for the past 6 weeks. Not just based on the record, but based on the process, there is nothing fluky about this.
The fluke ended, I think, a while ago. Has been cute and, you know, fun while the hot streak has lasted. That ended a month ago. Now we are in the territory, and I'll ask you, are we in the territory to say that the Predators are a cup contender?
Well, you know, that's the question, right? And I've heard Jared talk about this quite a bit. And, you know, I would have a hard time disagreeing with him just based on how this team is playing. And I shared this information with Jared in research I was doing for work. I was looking at teams that have had point streaks at the time of 17 games or more over the past 15 years. So the Predators are the sixth team in the past 15 years, since 2008-2009, to have a point streak of 18 games or more. Here are the other five teams and how they finished their season. The 2013 Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. The 2022 Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. The 2019 Boston Bruins lost in the Cup Final to Caroline Yore, St. Louis Blues. In 2018, Boston lost in the second round. 2017, Columbus Blue Jackets lost in the first round. So three of the other five teams made it to the Stanley Cup Final, 2-1 the Stanley Cup Final. So based on that alone, it's hard to argue against the Predators, you know, having a legitimate chance to at least get to the Stanley Cup Final. You know, they're sort of reminiscent to me lately of, I can't remember, I think it was the 2012 Los Angeles Kings, you know, a team that got into the postseason as an eighth seed and then just ran roughshod over the rest of the NHL in the postseason and won the Stanley Cup. I guess if you want to use a more recent example, you can look at last season's Florida Panthers, who were an eighth seed and almost won the Stanley Cup, although that Panthers team was supposed to be better than their record was in the regular season. They turned it on in the postseason. I can't remember a team, in recent memory at least, that had little to no preseason expectations like the Predators did entering the season and ultimately winning the Stanley Cup or getting close to it. If the Predators were to do that, it might be extreme to say unprecedented, but I can't think of a team in recent memory that had people picking them to miss the playoffs more often than not at the start of the season, turning it around and ultimately winning the championship.
We're talking to Adam Vingan, talking Nashville Predators and their big comeback last night, beating the Vegas Knights 5-4. Now, Adam, how would you, because we were discussing this, Caroline and I, about whether the Predators are playing the best hockey in the NHL or not. But how do you compare this team, say, to prior Predator teams that sort of had really good seasons or went on really good runs? Let's just look back at the 2017 team that ended up ultimately going on a run to the Stanley Cup. Now, I don't think many picked them to go to Stanley Cup, but they went on a hell of a run, and it was great to see here. I sort of kind of see that the same way here. No one picked them to do much of anything. Now, all of a sudden, the last 2 months, they've been the best team in hockey, at least to me. And I think this can also spill over into the playoffs.
Yeah, and look, Derek, a lot of times we talk about, not just in hockey, but in all sports, you want to be playing your best hockey, basketball, football, whatever, mm-hmm. as you're entering the postseason. And that's what the Predators have been doing. Another thing I want to note about this point streak, the Predators are 7-0 against playoff teams during this point streak in terms of teams that were in a playoff spot. I'm including Detroit in this because although Detroit is not currently in a playoff spot, they were in a playoff spot when the Predators played them over the weekend. So they're 7-0 against playoff teams. They've beaten Vegas twice, Los Angeles, Colorado, Winnipeg, Florida, and Detroit. So they're beating good teams. That's important. Of course, the two games they've lost are against teams that are non-playoff teams, Minnesota in overtime when John Hines showed some big ones pulling the goaltender, mm-hmm. and Montreal a couple of weeks ago. I think back, it's easy to look back to the 2016-17 Predators, the team that went to the Stanley Cup final and lost mm-hmm. to Pittsburgh. If I recall correctly, and my memory's gone over the past 6 or 7 years, that team, similar to the Panthers last season, had preseason expectations. Maybe they weren't a favorite entering the season, but people picked them to be a playoff team. They were underachieving in the regular season, but then turned it on, of course, sweeping the Chicago Blackhawks in the first round and going from there. This team, if I recall correctly, because talk about 7 years ago, I'm talking about like 6 months ago. I don't think this team had very many, if any, preseason expectations. I bet if you were to go back and look at stories written in September about which teams are going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference, I would say the vast majority did not pick the Predators to make it. And it's understandable. They missed the postseason last year. They made a lot of changes. They were going a little bit younger in some important positions. So to me, this run is more impressive than what the Predators did in 2016-17. Of course, we'll have to see what happens in the playoffs. But just based on what we thought this team would be versus what they have shown themselves to be, I think this is perhaps the most impressive run of any Predators team that I can remember since I've been to Nashville, and that's 9 years. So, I mean, this is, like I said, this is something that, you know, is really, it seems really special. There's just something about this group that, is it just because they couldn't go to see U2? Is that it? They were so pissed off that they couldn't go see Bono at the Sphere that they decided to not lose for a month and a half? Maybe it's as simple as that. I don't know. But as I said, when you look at all of the numbers, the regular statistics and the fancy statistics, there's nothing about this that says the Predators are, for example, it's not like UC Soros has been standing on his head for a month and a half and been stealing game after game after game. This team is playing incredibly well in front of him. And I think that's what makes them so dangerous.
Now, is there anything that you may be a little bit concerned about, moving forward? Because you look at yesterday's game and, you know, Vegas got out on them very quickly, 3-0 before they could even take, you know, two breaths, it seemed like. Are you concerned about that? Or do you just think that was, hey, that's a one-off. They finally, as long as they regrouped, get everything back together, and then ultimately win the game, that's what counts.
Yeah, and look, Vegas had reason to be motivated. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Vegas is probably going to make the playoffs. I don't expect them to fall off, but this was their probably last best chance to catch the Predators in the standings. So they had every reason to be motivated, and you saw that in the first period and the fact that they were up 4-1 after the third period. But, you know, another thing that, you know, I was looking at is, you know, a lot of the Predators have done a lot of their damage during this point streak, if I'm not mistaken, at 5-on-5, which is great because the majority of the game is played at 5-on-5. But I was just looking at where their special teams rank over the past 18 games. They're 13th on the power play and 7th on the penalty kill, which is solid. So, yeah, I mean, there really isn't anything that stands out to me that should be a cause for concern. Like I was saying before, if the Predators were, let's say, first in goals against per games played but like 20th in expected goals, which means that their goalies are stealing games for them. That would concern me a little bit, because there's only, you know, UC Saros is a fantastic goaltender, but there's only so much you can lean on your goaltender before eventually, if that falls off, then you're screwed. But the fact that they have stayed, the fact that they have kept everything up, you know, there's not an obvious weakness I have seen over these past 18 games that should give fans a cause for concern at the moment.
Hey, I mean, if they love you too so much that that's going to light the fire underneath them, like, whatever works. Like, I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum. Adam Vingan is with us. Adam, let's talk seeding. Let's talk playoffs. The most likely opponents that the Predators will see in the first round, Vancouver, Colorado, Dallas, possibly Edmonton. We'll just go ahead and throw them into the mix. How would you rank those teams? One being, this is the team that I would rather face. Four being, I don't want a piece of that team.
Okay, so let's go. Let's see. I would, you know, and I was on with Derek and Willie last week. I said that the team I thought was the most advantageous matchup for the Predators was the Stars. And the reason I said that was, when you look at the teams that they're likely to play, I think the likeliest in terms of percentage chance is Vancouver, then Colorado. So if you're including Vancouver, Colorado, and Dallas, they're three of the top five scoring teams in the NHL. But of those three teams, I think Dallas's goaltending has been the weakest of that group this season. So my argument was that if the Predators, who have been playing great defensively, can neutralize Dallas's offense, Jake Oettinger, Dallas's goaltender, is vulnerable. So I'll stick with Dallas for right now. But really, between Dallas, Colorado, and Vancouver, it's difficult. I might put Vancouver second, just because the Predators haven't played Vancouver since the beginning of the season. All of the games against Vancouver, I think, were when the Predators were not very good. So, you know, I wonder how this Predators team would match up against the Vancouver team currently. Then I would put Colorado. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Nathan MacKinnon has a point in every single home game that the Avalanche have played this year.
He's absurd, and that team at home is absurd.
This is what I think I looked this up earlier. Nathan MacKinnon has 77 points at home only, 77 home points. There are only 19 players in the NHL who have more points overall than Nathan MacKinnon has at home, just at home. He is now the first player in NHL history with multiple 19-game point streaks in a single season. He was tied with Wayne Gretzky, but he made it 19 games in a row last night. He has two 19-game point streaks this season. He's the only player in NHL history to do that. He's probably going to be the MVP. I would not want to face Nathan MacKinnon in a playoff series right now, especially with the Avalanche having home ice advantage. So keep me away from that. And then I would agree with Jared, who said this yesterday at the end of his show. Based on history, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl average like 8 points a game against the Predators. And Edmonton, who got off to a terrible start to the season, has been excellent for the past three quarters of the season. So I would say from one, I think, best matchup to worst matchup, I would say Dallas, Vancouver, Colorado, Edmonton.
Okay, interesting. And last one from me, Adam. Roman Josi Norris, Roman Josi Hart, Andrew Brunette, Jack Adams. Your thoughts?
Roman Josi Norris.
Throw Barry in there, too, for GM of the year.
Okay, we'll do that. So Roman Josi Norris, based on how he's played over the second half of the season, he should absolutely be a finalist, and I think he will be a finalist. I'm not convinced he's going to win, because I believe the overall body of work that Quinn Hughes has had in Vancouver this season, I think will ultimately lead him to win the award over Josi, who's had an outstanding second half. I'm just wondering if Hughes's full season will be more important to voters than Josi's second half of the season. Same thing with the Hart. Of course, I think Josi should be considered for the Hart Trophy, but I do not think he's going to be a finalist. I think he's going to end up on a lot of ballots. You have to fill out five players. The top three are finalists. I think he's going to end up on a lot of ballots, but I think there are too many players in front of him for him to be a finalist. I mentioned MacKinnon, Nikita Kucherov, Connor McDavid. Artemi Panarin. There are a lot of players, I think, that have had fantastic seasons that will prevent Josi from being a finalist. But would it shock me if he finished fourth, fifth, sixth in the voting? No, not at all. Andrew Burnett for Jack Adams. I mean, I think he should be the favorite, because oftentimes when you look at that award, it's, okay, which coach of the team that is defying expectations? That's, I jumbled that up, but you're getting what I'm saying. The Predators, as we talked about, you know, are playing way above what everybody expected them to. The fact that Andrew Burnett has been able to get them to this point in his first season with the team absolutely deserves that recognition. There are a lot of other coaches, of course, that will demand those votes as well. That's something you'll have to talk about with Willie, because Willie votes on the Jack Adams. I don't. So you will have to petition Willie for that. But of course, Willie having a front row seat to what Andrew Brunette has done, I imagine, will give him some love. Barry Trotz for General Manager of the Year. Again, I have a hard time picking against Barry in this. But here's the weird thing about the GM of the Year award. It's voted on after the second round of the playoffs. The other awards are all regular season awards, so you have to turn in your ballots at the end, before the start of the playoffs. The GM of the Year award, I believe, you turn in the ballots at the conclusion of the second round. So if the Predators are out by then, I don't think he'll win. If the Predators somehow, if the Predators make it to the Western Conference Final, absolutely. I think that he could win it. But what Brunette and Trotz have been able to do with this team, put their stamp on it, change things up, and get them to where they are right now, when everybody expected them to be, you know, a few years out from being a contender, yeah, they absolutely deserve it. So I'll say Josi, Norris, he should definitely be considered. He probably won't win. Same with the Hart. I think that Brunette should be a favorite for the Jack Adams, and Trotz should be a favorite for GM.
He's got my vote. I don't vote, but if I did, he'd have it. Adam Vingan, appreciate you as always. Dad of the year on bedtime duty last night, but still was able to see that 5-4 overtime win. Adam, always appreciate your time. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Yep. Appreciate it. Vingan is the very best. We'll react to what he had to say there. Plus, your reaction to the game last night. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Hey, tune into 102.5 and 106.3, the game this week, for NCAA tournament coverage brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today at toyota.com. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, the game in the game Nashville app. We'll catch up with Jonathan Hutton here in just a few minutes. But first, wanted to get into some of your reaction from the Predators' 5-4 thriller overtime winner last night. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David in Fairview, Texan, says, last night's Predators game, to my opinion, was the most exciting of the season. My favorite part was seeing the honest excitement in the entire team celebrating after their victory. It's also special to see both young and old players giving all that they have, working as a cohesive team. Very proud to be a fan right now. I would say David's sentiment could be applied to probably nearly every single Predators fan in this town. Proud, excited, just overall fired up about this team. How could you not be?
Yeah, I don't see how you can't be. Even if you, you know, was down on this team, you know, the first half of the season. And understandably, you know, even though Barry Trotz said, hey, listen, this is, you know, it's going to take us some time. You know, it ain't going to be an overnight thing, essentially. So, you know, fans sort of being lukewarm, still supporting the team, but thinking in their mind, you know, this may be a team where they're just a year where they're just building things up and they will be better the next following year. But now, I don't know how you can't be excited for this team, regardless of what happened in the first half of the season. You know, what they've been able to do, you know, over this span has been incredible. They are, to me, at least to me. And Adam, you know, he's spelled out the numbers in regards to what they're able to do offensively, expected goals and everything against and for. They are playing the best hockey in the NHL right now.
They're not fluky numbers.
Exactly. These are not fluke numbers. They are real hardcore numbers. So everyone should be excited about the Nashville Predators. And last night was just, you know, an extension of what they've been doing the last month and a half, almost 2 months.
We have a bunch of texts in the text line, mm-hmm. all with the sentiment of have Bono come sing the national anthem at the Stanley Cup or at the Stanley Cup final, or have you two play at the victory parade. I would say slow your roll, but none of that today. None of the slow your
roll. Don't slow your roll. Speed it up.
Don't slow your roll. This is a cup contending team after last night. How could you not believe that? I'm all for it. I'm sure Bono would gladly take some of the credit,
exactly.
at least for some of this winning streak that the Predators have going on. All right, coming up next, Jonathan Hutton will join us. I want to get Hutton's reaction to the moves that the Titans have made in free agency, the L'Jarius Sneed trade. Plus, we're a month away from the draft. It's coming. We'll get Jonathan Hutton's thoughts on the Titans' draft approach, or at least what he thinks it should be. We'll catch up with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton Withrow coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.